Saleh, and this is Living History. This show explores the rich heritage of the Brandywine Valley outside Philadelphia, focusing on the people, places, and events over more than 300 years which have played an important part in our American heritage. Each show highlights a local town, event, or personality who's had a notable influence on our culture. This day in history, May 17th. In 1769, a future president speaks out against British policies of taxation without representation. George Washington, as a member of the Virginia House of Burgesses, formally complains to the group about the edicts which King George III of England had directed to the 13 colonies, many of which were strongly opposed by local citizens. In 1954, the Supreme Court decides the Brown versus Topeka Board of Education case, ruling that segregation in public schools is unconstitutional. This groundbreaking ruling was cheered by millions of black families impacted by the policies of segregation practiced for years around America, and it led to numerous important subsequent rulings that transformed the legal landscape, shifting the focus toward alleviating the many social problems that had festered for decades in America. And in 1970, Norwegian ethnologist Thor Heyerdahl set sail on the Ra II, a boat created entirely from papyrus reeds from Morocco across the Atlantic Ocean, hoping to prove that it was possible for ancient peoples to sail from Africa to the New World. Heyerdahl ultimately was successful, arriving in Barbados after crossing over 4,000 miles of ocean in just 57 days. Downtown Philadelphia has many sites linked to the American Revolution. Alfred's Alley, the Old City Tavern, Independence Hall, and other places are important in our heritage. Christ Church is one of those sites. Founded in 1695, the congregation at Christ Church was an offshoot of the Church of England. The baptismal font in which William Penn was baptized is still in use at Christ Church. It was sent to Philadelphia in 1697 from All Hallows by the Tower in London. Another baptismal font and the communion table were crafted by Philadelphia cabinet maker Jonathan Gostelow, who served on the vestry in the 1790s. Christ Church's congregation included 15 signers of the Declaration of Independence. These are the founding fathers. Many of those founding fathers are well known to our audience, including George Washington, Robert Morris, Benjamin Franklin, and others. Christ Church is a landmark, one visited by thousands of people every week who want to have a connection with our past. Neil Ronk is the senior guide and historian at Christ Church in downtown Philadelphia. Neil talks with visitors every day who want to learn more about the founding of our nation, the things that occurred back in the late 1700s, which helped to make the struggling 13 colonies an independent country. Neil is with us here today to talk about Christ Church. Neil, welcome to the show.
Gene, thank you. I'm more than happy to be here.
Now, the Christ Church building itself, how old is that building?
Well, the building that visitors will see is the second structure built on the site. The building people see was begun in 1727. The sanctuary was completed in 1744. The congregation took a deep breath and waited to raise money for the tower and steeple project, which started in 1751. And upon completion in 1754, the steeple of Christ Church is thought to be the tallest building ever built in British North America in the 18th century.
Huh. Tell us about some of the famous people who are actually buried there at Christ Church. I know some well-known names are there.
Well, around the church itself, we have Robert Morris, who's one of two men to sign all three documents, the other being Roger Sherman of Connecticut. Robert Morris is best known as the financier of the American Revolution and, frankly, is perhaps the most underrated of the truly significant founding fathers. The other that is buried on the south edge of the edifice is James Wilson, who is a signer of the Declaration and a framer of the Constitution, and is of particular relevance because he is the man who came up with the Electoral College. It was his idea, and it's as relevant as last election.
Interesting.
At the burial ground, we have at 5th and Arch, five signers of the Declaration, including Benjamin Franklin.
Very interesting. I'm sure you get a lot of questions about the famous people who are buried there. Tell us about your position there at Christ Church. What are your regular weekly duties?
Well, my weekly duties are to present Christ Church and its history in a creative way, an accurate way, and in essence, to talk about the entirety of the 322-year-old institution. But obviously everyone wants to know about Mr. Washington or Mr. Franklin or the signers of the Declaration or the Constitution. And we do our best to frame our talks around those particular topics. And then if we get a chance to go off and talk about the role that the parish women have played or the issue of race in the city of Philadelphia in the 18th century, the slaves who many of our members owned, we try to do that and try to talk about the complexity of American history without trying to, in essence, spoil the fun of history. We see a lot of young kids, and what we want to do is make the 18th century connect to their world. What did the founding fathers mean to a modern 21st century fifth grader? And we want them to get that message, and I think we try to do it in a creative way, and we've been successful at it.
Now, how long have you been at Christ Church?
I came thinking I would be an intern in October of 1991.
Oh, long time ago.
And my degrees are all in military history. I did not think that I would fall in love with the interpretation of a church.
Mm-hmm.
But what a church is a social portrait of the city that it lives in or the community.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, believe it or not, it's not terribly different than military history. It's about how institutions, whether it's the Continental Army or a church, change to meet the changing needs of the community, changing needs of the perceived threat, if it's the military. And Christ Church has had a unique role in the city of Philadelphia's history for almost as long as there's been a Philadelphia, there's been a Christ Church.
Yeah.
And the city was founded 13 years before we were founded.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, we often mirror the region's history, not just Philadelphia's.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there an official, religion or sect there?
Well, we were founded in 1695 as the first parish of the Church of England in the colony of Pennsylvania. It was founded as a Church of England parish, and one of the claims that Christ Church is justly proud of is that we led the movement, our clergy, to, in the aftermath of the Revolution, to redesign the structure of the Church of England in America to reflect a democracy. Can the Church of England be separate from England? And in essence, the clergy of Christ Church led the movement that will culminate in the creation of the Episcopal Church nationally.
Okay, so today it's considered an Episcopal Church?
It is.
Okay.
It is, and the first head of the Episcopal Church was one of our ministers,
okay.
William White.
Interesting. I know that some of the Founding Fathers worshiped there on a fairly regular basis. Tell us about some of them.
Well, Benjamin Franklin married into a family that were members here. He would have joined this church with or without Deborah Reed and her family already being members. But it helped mightily that Benjamin Franklin was married into a family that were members here. He was born and raised Congregational in Boston, and there was not a Congregational presence in Philadelphia. But a lot of the young and up-and-comers in Philadelphia were already members of Christ Church, and I think it helped him in his early years networking with other young entrepreneurs. Mr. Franklin did not live in a vacuum. Philadelphia was an entrepreneurial paradise in the early 18th century, and that is thankfully a legacy of the Penn family and the religious diversity that they founded the colony upon. The other members that I would say, Robert Morris, who is known as the financier of the revolution. He was born in Liverpool, raised in Maryland, came to apprentice in Philadelphia, and by the age of 23 is a partner in his own business. He is maybe the most significant founding father in that it was he who secured bank loans and in essence put the Continental Congress on a good financial footing when its dealings with the French or Dutch bankers who were instrumental in funding and loaning money to permit us to continue the rebellion. He's often underrated.
Yes,
that's a tragedy because he will die bankrupt, and he will, and I think in the 20th century that colors our opinion of him.
Yes, oh, absolutely. You know, I did my, I just recently completed my master's degree thesis on Alexander Hamilton, so I mentioned Robert Marsh quite a bit. So, yeah, very strong, very important early influence,
and
specifically on finance. We actually have to take a break for a commercial, but stay with us. We'll be right back talking with Neil Ronk of Christ Church in downtown Philadelphia.
Do you have a wedding, graduation, baptism, confirmation, milestone, or birthday to plan? You need John Surratt Catering, one of the most highly rated and preferred caterers throughout the Philadelphia area. They will be there to create and cater your event while assisting as much or as little as you desire. Planning a decadent, over-the-top company gala? Need help transforming your backyard into the party of the year? Want to wow your clients with a delicious luncheon? Then you need John Surratt Catering. All you have to do is call and they'll handle the rest. Located at 835 Lincoln Avenue in Westchester, visit them at SurrockCatering.com or call 610-640-2836. That's 610-640-2836.
If you had to choose a roofer, would you choose one with limited experience and knowledge, or would you choose a roofer certified as a master elite contractor by the largest manufacturer in the nation, GAF, a distinction shared by only 3% of the nation's roofers? I'm talking about GP Martini Roofing, who also does siding, windows, doors, and offers an ironclad guarantee that he'll repair or replace any roof for defects within its normal life. GP Martini Services, Chester, Delaware, Bucks, and Montgomery counties, with free estimates and consultation, and does both commercial and residential. Go to their website at martiniroofing.com for special savings, or call 610-873-1696. And also, financing is available with no payments for a full year. Now, what roofer would you call? GP Martini is the answer. 610-873-1696.
You're listening to WCHE 1520 AM, the talk of Chester County. Stay tuned for what's next.
I'm Gene Pasale, and this is Living History. Today we're talking with Neil Ronk, the senior guide and historian at Christ Church in downtown Philadelphia, a spot well known to the founding fathers of America. Neil, were the founding fathers regular churchgoers in general?
It's hard to know. And and I don't mean to skirt the issue. It's hard to know with the window of 2 centuries. Some were. Some, like Mr. Jefferson, were not terribly, but they were all, in a sense, products of the Age of Enlightenment. And yet they were also men of protocol, and they believed in attendance. Mr. Franklin, for example, I think is a good example of this. He would have said that it's a good discipline, that you should know your faith tradition. You should know how you come to be who you are. And he once counseled his daughter while he was in London to continue going to church because he thought it was a good discipline to maintain. It's hard to know, as I say, with the, you know, with that framework of time, but I think it's instructive to know that the first commemoration of the Declaration of Independence was July 20th, 1776, and Congress declared it a day to be a national day of fasting, repentance, and prayer. And the Congress agreed to adjourn and meet at Christ Church, where the chaplain of Congress would deliver a sermon, and it was called The American Vine. And in that sense, I think the idea of church, I think, was a very important aspect. That does not mean that they were not skeptical. I think that's part of the Age of Enlightenment. But that does not negate their use of their faith to buttress their political and philosophical impulses.
Absolutely. You know, I understand that many people back in the late 1700s and early 1800s called themselves deists. Tell our listeners what that means, the term deist.
Well, it's a sort of an amorphous term, and people throw it around, frankly, fairly carelessly. What I tend to believe it to be is that there is a, that there are multiple ways up a mountain, that mountain being the faith tradition. And it's an outgrowth of the 17th century in Europe, which saw widespread cataclysmic bloodshed over Protestant Catholicism. And the Age of Enlightenment and the deism that is part of it is to say that there is, in essence, God is a clock maker, and he manages the clock, and it is up to humankind to follow their tradition to the best of their abilities. But that science, that philosophy, that overall, that knowledge is serving God as well as that of the pulpit, and that they would have seen it as not a disconnect, but rather a connect. Taken to its extreme, deism will lead to the French Revolution, which in some ways is an absolute negation of faith, at least in some of the French radicals like Robespierre. But to the American founding fathers, it would not have been seen as a negation of faith, but as a healthy skepticism, but not a negation of that faith.
Absolutely. Does the church there in downtown Philadelphia have many historical artifacts or exhibits that people can see? Can you take a walking tour there?
Oh, yes. And
tell us a little bit about what they can see.
Well, you can sit in Mr. Washington's pew. You can sit where Ben Franklin would have sat. Now, admittedly, these seats aren't original. Mm-hmm. But the bells that we rang in 1776 to herald the birth of the United States are still in our tower. They cannot be seen, but on Sundays and on service days or weddings or funerals, we ring them. We have a chandelier in the center aisle that has been in that spot for 273 years that is still candle-lit. And unbelievably but true, we have the oldest church bell from Whitechapel Foundry in London, according to the Smithsonian Online. It's 50 years older than the Liberty Bell, and it was made for Christ Church in 1702 and was actually too big for the original edifice on the site. So we slung it from a crook outside, a massive crook, because it's a 450-pound bell, and we literally loaned it in 1758 to our sister parish, St. Peter's, as it was being founded at Third and Pine, and it begins its own odyssey, and we got the bell back in June of 2011. So after 240 years of not being at Christ Church, it's there now.
That's interesting. Now, are these are things that you can you actually see those things?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Now, the bells in the tower, you can't.
You can't see, okay.
But to be honest, you feel it. The font that you were alluding to, the pen font, you can see it. The Gostolo font, you can see it. And what I like to think of Christ Church is that it's a participatory historical experience. It's, we want people to see and feel the history rather than keep it at arm's length. We know that you're not sitting in Mr. Washington's splinters, but we want, particularly youngsters, we want them to feel that they're in the area that Mr. Washington sat.
Mr. Adams. Yes. Did many Continental Army soldiers pray there during the Revolution?
It's interesting. We don't know. Many of the officers of the Continental Army have connections to Christ Church. Ironically, you know, the British general, Sir William Howe, during the British Army's occupation, attended services at Christ Church. Benedict Arnold, when he was military governor of Philadelphia and a hero to the patriot cause, attended Christ Church. And in fact, he married Peggy Shippen, his wife, at her father's house, but the clergy of Christ Church officiated the wedding.
Interesting.
One of the more poignant aspects in our burial ground is that we believe, through our archival records, that there are about 14 British soldiers who died and while in Philadelphia, and whether they died of wounds or disease is not known, but it would be, I would think, that it would not be unlikely that some of them were wounded at Brandywine or Germantown. And we have one very poignant one, a naval surgeon, you know, from HMS Vigilant. And we don't know where these graves are. And we even have camp followers listed.
Quite a mix. Quite a mix.
Well, one that has always stood out in my mind, and I've never forgotten it, it simply says in our burial record, Sergeant Venter's woman. And behind Sergeant Venter, it simply has in parentheses 26th. And I'm assuming 26th Regiment of Foot.
Yeah.
And I've always wondered, you know, if we were ever to put that into bronze, to commemorate their sacrifice.
Yes.
Because they're part of American history.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about the significance of the church today and how it relates to other historic structures around downtown Philadelphia.
Well, it were a very active Episcopal church. We're not in downtown Philadelphia per se. We're an old city.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at 2nd and Market. We're right, literally right off an L stop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's extraordinarily easy to see. And being the tallest building in British North America in the 18th century, it's only been in the last 5 years or so where we were still not the tallest building in Old City by a lot,
mm-hmm.
but we stand out in Old City.
Mm-hmm.
We are a contemporary structure to Independence Hall. The same architectural team that worked on us worked at Independence Hall. We are literally architecturally very, very, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, sometimes visitors come to us thinking that we are Independence Hall, the steeple.
Yeah. Very similar structure. We've just got under a minute left, so not a lot of time, but tell us about your website and what people can expect to find there.
Well, our website is ChristChurchPhila.org, and it will put you to the historic website easily. What you'll find is events that we will promote, and we're getting ready to unveil the restoration of the Franklin Grave on May 23rd at 5:30. We've needed to restore the grave,
mm-hmm.
We're going to do a Memorial Day service at the church to commemorate the son of the minister here who was killed in the Civil War.
Mm.
And then we will walk to the burial ground and lay flags at the graves of the soldiers of the Continental Army and all those who served in all subsequent conflicts. What we want to do with Memorial Day is bring it back to its original roots and commemorate the sacrifice by having little kids, if we have enough of them, mm-hmm. and adults, individually place the flags.
Oh, that's
and we'll
great.
Leave Christchurch.
Yeah.
About 1:30 and walk up to the burial ground at 5th and Arch.
Excellent. That is excellent. Neil, thanks so much for being on the show with us today. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday, May 24th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, when we'll be speaking with artist and author Raul Villarreal, whose father was Ernest Hemingway's housekeeper and lived with him in Cuba. Thank you all for tuning in today to Living History.